I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today is Prashant Pai, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Strategic Initiatives at Security Scorecard. Security Scorecard is the global leader in cybersecurity ratings and the only service with over 1 million companies continuously rated. To learn more about Security Scorecard, visit securityscorecard.com. Prashant, welcome. It's so great to have you on the show and to be speaking with you today.
Thank you, Hillary. Super excited to be here as well.
So, Prashant, as I mentioned in the introduction, you're the SVP and GM of Strategic Initiatives at Security Scorecard. And before we get into our discussion, I'd love for you to just quickly kick off by telling us more about what Security Scorecard does for anyone who may be unfamiliar.
Happy to. Security Scorecard, we were started in 2013. And over the past 8 years, what we have done is to put together a massive data set, having scanned the global IPv4 space. And we use that data in order to create views of how secure companies are and how their security has evolved over time. We do that by then putting a score between 1 to 100 and then attaching a letter grade between A through F. That makes it extremely easy for businesses that work with each other in order to understand what's the security risk, what's the cyber risk that my partners pose, and so that I'm well informed and I can make appropriate decisions.
Excellent. And so, Prashant, what is the state of the cyber insurance market? I'd love to just dive right in and hear your perspective.
If I were to use one word, it would be exhilarating. That's because, you know, if you look at what's happened in 2020, the pace of digitization has just accelerated. The risk itself is growing. I mean, there are criminals out there that haven't, taken a breather from exploiting all the transition to work from home. And finally, from an insurance perspective, the coverage is rapidly evolving. So what the insurance policies are covering for have expanded greatly from media to data breaches to ransomware. And now, you know, what we see coming are supply chain outages. So, you know, if you take a step back and compare that with more traditional lines of insurance, such as property and casualty, you can appreciate why cyber insurance is still a relatively young segment. And insurers, brokers, reinsurers, I mean, all the market players are really having to learn on the job. We don't always have the data or the experience so that we can get a firm understanding, which then translates into consistent results. So which is why from a outside perspective, it seems that each year or each cycle, we see corrections or overcorrections. But to be honest, you know, this is to be expected. I mean, this is to be expected whenever we wade into uncharted territory. And I think it's going to be a couple of years till we achieve the sense of equilibrium that exists in most traditional lines of insurance. So on cyber insurance, since you asked specifically, you know, throughout 2020, we saw that there was increasing claims and losses due to ransomware. We saw that then insurers severely curtailed their risk appetites. Coverage was cut, rates have gone through the roof. And overall, there is more scrutiny now than ever before on across that entire cyber insurance value chain.
Well, there's certainly a lot going on. Exhilarating is a great word to use. So I think with everything that is going on, Prashant, how do you think insurers need to adapt? I mean, that was a lot of various activity happening that you just described.
Indeed. So I think what's happening, what I do see across our industry, the cyber insurance industry, is everybody's having to step up their game. And that's a good thing. So brokers are more actively working with insurance buyers so that, you know, they can become better risks. Carriers, in turn, are getting finer grained and understanding what are they covering in terms of risk and how they are tuning their risk selection processes. And the interesting part is both of these activities are happening in tandem. So we have you know, both brokers and carriers. It's really one conversation and two sides of the same story. If you think about it, cyber risk is a subjective conversation. So when presented with the same facts, different companies may interpret those facts differently to gain their own perspective of risk, which is, you know, also a good thing. So the key here, though, is that cyber insurance needs a common language upon which that risk is discussed. Now, if we do get to that point, then we can create scenarios that I like to term as win-win-win for all stakeholders in cyber insurance. So brokers can excel in their role as a trusted advisor. Carriers can build and maintain a profitable line of business. And companies, I mean, really the end customers here can, and especially small and medium businesses who don't have, a lot of things at their disposal, can make the right investments and feel confident in going down that digital path and feeling confident that, they'll be protected in whatever scenario may arise. So now, even with that language, I mean, you know, the idea isn't to have the same thoughts and opinions. I mean, that's not going to happen, and we don't want that. We want a healthy disagreement, if you will. But if all parties are speaking the same language and working in that same frame of reference, then it facilitates communication.
Fantastic. And so I guess in addition to what you just covered, you know, what challenges are they facing and why is it hard to create that common cyber risk language?
I'm going to take this language analogy and beat it to death. So the change is constant, right? In cyber insurance, change is constant. So I'm going to paint this, you know, story from a rom-com, a romantic comedy, right? An American boy falls in love with a French girl. It's going to take them a little bit of time to start speaking the same language. Mm. And in many ways, the cybersecurity industry, which moves at its pace, and the insurance market, which moves at its pace, are two, you know, the two roles in that couple. So the conversations themselves are complex. So we need to have a language. We then need to enable the conversation that are complex. And we need to be able to capture all the nuances, the topics that are needed to be discussed, make sure all the stakeholders are aware of the progress. So how does a broker work with their client, educate them on what the risks involved are, and then, you know, help them make the right decisions on, you know, how they fit that into the overall risk paradigm of when faced with a risk, you can just accept it, you can avoid it, you can mitigate it, or you can transfer it, right? So how do you sort of deal with the risk across those four tools? And then insurers on their side, once they accept the risk and bring that risk onto their books, how do they similarly take steps in order to monitor the risk, to mitigate the risk? And at the end of the day, the end result is that the final consumer, the customer here, the company that's being looked at becomes, you know, more cyber secure. And at the end of the day, that ends up making a more secure digital economy and a more resilient society. And in Security Scorecard, our mission is to make the entire world more cyber secure. So it really goes back to what our mission is.
Fantastic. And so I'd love to, since you had I liked your analogy and you had those, you know, cyber and insurance as those two characters, you know, and you just mentioned security scorecard. I'm curious, how do security ratings also now help create this new language for the industries?
Great question. We truly believe that security ratings can become the foundational element of a new language of cyber risk. Security ratings are easy to understand, even when the underlying data and context that informs these ratings are constantly changing. At Security Scorecard, we use an A through F rating system that simplifies the language. The way we do that is by collecting externally available information on threats, vulnerabilities, and using modeling and machine learning, we synthesize all of that data into an easy-to-understand score. Like in my, I have two daughters, first in sixth grade, the other one in fourth grade. They get the A through F, right? Right. It's a very easy concept to understand. Also, as creators of the language, we at here at Security Scorecard find that we have the ability to provide how and where this language is spoken. And so to that end, we have built a platform that allows our users to send detailed questionnaires to the rated companies about their security posture. The responses to these are then validated against our data and findings to inform those conversations and to make sure that everyone stays on the same page. And finally, on the productivity of this language, we're seeing tremendous interest from cyber insurance organizations who want to incorporate these ratings to make better decisions, create efficiencies, and increase customer engagement.
Excellent. And so my final question for our conversation today, Prashant, is what are some examples of how your customers are using security ratings? You mentioned that the A through F and how that is pretty, you know, we all basically understand that, but I'd love to hear some examples from you.
Absolutely. So in insurance, we see three main use cases. There's you know, a couple more, but the three primary ones are on number one, underwriting. Underwriters use the information that we provide to drive efficiency and to speed up the risk selection process, but at the same time, without sacrificing proper controls so that they avoid losses. We have done studies that show that companies with an F rating are more than 7 times more likely to suffer a cyber incident. So often, the first thing that an underwriter looks at is the applicant score. If it's an A, then the applicant may get preferred treatment and discounts. If it's a C, they may still consider it the risk, but continue to drill down by sending additional questionnaires and engaging in a healthy underwriting dialogue. Second, with brokers, we see that given that cyber insurance is in a hard market right now, brokers are having to do a lot more in order to help place their customers and place that risk. So we see them, you know, using our platform in order to really level the playing field. So they know that carriers are using the same information, and so they want to get ahead of it by preparing their customers beforehand. On our platform, we have a really cool tool, which is Score Planner, and it gives a very actionable plan to brokers and their insureds, their clients, as to how they can get to an A. And that gives them the ability to get ready for renewal time. It gives them the ability, you know, whenever they're going in for an underwriting submission. And finally, and I think this is where we are seeing an opportunity for the largest growth, as well as where I do feel we are making a big difference. And that is on ongoing monitoring, risk control. So within the insurance industry, if you think about it, you know, carriers used to underwrite the risk at a point in time, and then to some extent, you know, forget about the risk for the next year. I mean, till that, risk is back up for renewal. But we firmly believe that the future, especially on cyber, is continuous underwriting. So you can't afford to underwrite and forget. You want to be able to continually monitor. So the first driver came in as part of the New York Department of Financial Services, NYDFS cyber risk framework. And as part of that, they encouraged all carriers to monitor their insured, their cyber insureds on an ongoing basis. So that became kind of the first driver. But secondly, as we have seen through 2020, we've just seen a huge interest from carriers that they can automatically and on an ongoing basis monitor their insureds and support their insureds, because if they see ransomware beaconing that we show in our platform, we have the ability to send out an automated set of alerts and help the carriers manage how these insureds are responding to those alerts, what actions are they taking. And then over time, this is leading to that ongoing monitoring and really the birth of what I like to call continuous underwriting.
Fantastic. Well, Prashant, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your expertise and in-depth knowledge with us. This has been so wonderful. I just really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Hillary. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, our pleasure. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Prashant Pai, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Strategic Initiatives at Security Scorecard. Security Scorecard is the global leader in cybersecurity ratings and the only service with over 1 million companies continuously rated. To learn more about our sponsor, Security Scorecard, visit securityscorecard.com, and you can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.